Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. If he is known by such, may we be known by such, right? Mercy and grace and love. And may it be true in each of our lives that others see Christ in us, this Christ of Calvary, but this Christ of the empty tomb as well. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. One writer I read this week said, a recent study found that laughing for 2 minutes has the same benefits as a 20-minute jog. So I'm off to the park to laugh at all the joggers. You know, we live between these realms, do we not? Bodily exercise, spiritual exercise, and yet we're torn sometimes between the two and have to learn how to live within the realm of both. But then we understand how one must become a priority and a pursuit over the other. And we're to pursue godliness, and we're to pursue a life that honors the Lord in every way. And so, as we think about these different realms that we're living in, I think about the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven, and how God wants us to see both, and how we interact and interrelate with those realms, and how we're to reflect the kingdom of God in our lives day by day. In our text this morning, we'll see in just a moment, we're going to find out in Romans chapter 14 how the weak that were spoken of in this passage were the Jewish believers who felt that eating meat offered to a false god was an act of idolatry. So they only ate vegetables. Food was offered in honor of the gods, and surplus fare was sold to the markets to provide income for the priest and maintain the temples. Gentile believers had the conviction or the faith that it was permissible to eat this meat. Paul directed, think about this, the stronger Gentile believers to fellowship with Jewish believers. They were not on the same page. They had not landed at the same place. And they were to respect one another for who they were and where they were. Now think about that. The importance of having a proper regard and a due respect for fellow believers and not hold them in contempt or disdain because they are not altogether where we are in things that are not expressly addressed in the Word of God. Amazing. So with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles and stand with me. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, find your place here. We're going to read aloud verses 16 and 17. As we talk about this matter this morning of pursuing peace and edification, building one another up, see, which kingdom are you going to pursue? Which kingdom are you going to dwell in? What is going to characterize your life? The kingdom of this world? Well, who is the god of this world? Satan is the god of this world, the kingdoms of this world. But the kingdom of our God is the kingdom that God wants us to see that lives within us today. Now, this is powerful. Look with me, Romans 14, let's read aloud, verse 16 and 17. Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow, what a truth. You may be seated. Thank you. Now think about what God is saying here. God wants us to pursue peace, according to verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. He said this is what we're to pursue in our lives, the realization and the outliving the demonstration of the kingdom of God, which is in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost within. God wants us to be men and women and young people of peace. Pursuing such, making that our priority, peace with God, peace of God, peace with one another, and inner tranquility of heart and mind. Now think about this. The Bible says we're to pursue those things which edify one another there in verse 19. Underline that. What does the word edify mean? It means to build up. Would you characterize your words, your attitude, your actions as those that build people up or tear people down? You know what's amazing to me? These things go hand in hand. They're opposite sides of the same coin. Peace and building up. People who take peace, they're peace takers and not peacemakers. Think about it. They're the ones who are always tearing down, undermining, subverting the peace of others, the joy of others, the blessing of others. Amazing, is it not? How those things go hand in hand. And you know what? Here's something I've learned. When you're at peace with God, it's a lot easier to be at peace with others. And the reason we're not at peace with others so oftentimes is because we're not at peace with God. Make your peace with God. Know Christ the Savior. Trust Him by faith, believing He died for you and rose again. Make your peace with God and then live in the peace of the Holy Spirit as you yield to His control daily in your heart and in your life. Look with me back here in verse number 1 and following, here in Romans 14 still. Notice this. I think this is powerful when we consider what God says to us in pursuing peace and edification. Number one, how do we do this? By receiving one another. Verse 1, we read, him that is weak in the faith, underline it, what does it say here? Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. The word receive here literally means to take to oneself, to take someone where he or she is. Though they may not be where you are, take them where they are. And do not get caught up in these matters of just disputing and doubting and indicting one another because you're not exactly where each other is in some particular area of life and service unto God. Be careful in getting caught up with that because there's so many different people. The strife that I deal with as a pastor is not so much of what's going on in our world, but what's going on in our hearts, therefore in our homes and in our church. Think about that tension, friction, a lack of rest and peace and joy and blessing of doing what is right. We'll see that in just a moment. The word righteousness means just simply practical doing of what is right before God and before one another. God wants us to be people of peace, people that pursue building up one another, encouraging one another, doing right by one another. That's what God is saying to us. Because we realize in verse number 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he what? Standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now think about that. There are so many people in this world that are so concerned about everyone else's heart at the expense of being concerned about their own heart. And they want to tell everybody where this person's off, this person's not right, this person's not strong enough, this person's too strong, this person doesn't take a strong enough stand here, too strong there. They're always comparing themselves among themselves. And the Bible says when we do that, we are not wise. Isn't that amazing? People get caught up in certain things. They want to say, you know, are you as zealous about this matter as I am? If you are, good. We're together. But if not, I don't know about you. Isn't that amazing? Sizing, that's exactly what God is forbidding right here. God says, don't approach each other and deal with each other in that mind, in that kind of spirit. Striving against each other, with each other, over things that God has not expressly commanded. I think about all the different things that God has done for me and in my life and my family, and how good God has been. I think about how the Lord has blessed me and Rebecca with all these children. We were talking about that this week. And now these grandchildren, our in-laws, and all of our family just continues to grow. And we thank God for it. But can you imagine me coming to this pulpit and asking you, how many of you love children? How many of you believe children are a gift from God? Right? Well, we're all on the same page. And then can you imagine me taking that to the next level and saying, well, Rebecca and I had a quiver full of children. If others don't have a quiver full of children, isn't that right? You see where I'm going with that? I would never do that because I'm not the Lord and I'm not your Lord. That's between you and your Lord. You believe that? You see, if we're not careful, we get into these things and it seems like we want to see who is more righteous, more zealous, more devoted than us, and we start laying the groundwork. Well, you know, you could go down so many different paths. And Jesus said, those that are not against us are what? For us, leave them alone. They said, no, we want to call down fire from heaven. We want to deal with these guys. He said, no, leave them alone. Isn't that amazing? If we're not careful, that spirit will get in our hearts. And rather than being truly zealous for God and what's right and making an absolute difference and moving the needle for the glory of God and the good of others, we make it about ourselves and how better we are than our brother or sister. And I want to tell you, friend, God forbids that. God says we are not wise when we do that. You've got to come to the place to where you pursue peace according to the Word of God and edification, and you receive one another. You take each other where you are and lovingly try to bring each other along, not to strive with or condemn or to try to force something on someone else perhaps that God is even putting in your heart. God put this in our hearts. And we love each. I told the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, thank you for all of our children. Thank you that there's never a dull moment in our lives. Never. We love them so, so much. And to get to be with them and spend time with them and watch Carolina beat Duke again this year is a wonderful thing. I knew I'd get some amens there, all right? We loved it. We loved it. But think about it. People that way, no wonder churches can't thrive. No wonder churches can't get forward because, wait, you know, are you in our group? See, our group is a little more committed than your group. Or we're a little more zealous for this than you are. And so that puts us at a plane that's higher and more righteous and more deserving than you. God, deliver us from these schisms. Deliver us from this man-centered philosophy that seeks to divide God's people over matters that are not expressly spelled out in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Yes, may God in heaven speak to us. people sitting on the sidelines. There's a city here to reach with the gospel, doing nothing to advance the gospel, but yet wondering about others and where they are or not, as compared not to the Word of God oftentimes, but to themselves. Let's be reminded this morning, you and I are not the standard. Christ is our standard. The Word of God is our standard. Is it not? That's what God is saying here. Realize what God has given us. Receive one another. Number two, we pursue peace and edification by realizing our own accountability to God. We rise or fall before our own master. The Bible says in verse number 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Some esteemed days over others, and there were Jewish believers that no doubt continued to honor the Sabbath day. That was a part of their culture, their mindset. It was not wrong to do that, but it would be wrong for that to be forced upon others. Do you see? And so he's saying here, as we navigate these things, you're going to have to be reminded that you have an individual responsibility and an accountability unto God. The Bible says in verse number 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Now think about this. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? To develop tension and friction and strife in your heart. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you see that? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you see that? It's almost like we take the place of God and say, no, you're going to give account to me. I'm going to determine your level of zeal or devotion or service and its value. No. At the end of our lives, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be tried by fire. And there are those who are going to be wood, hay, and stubble, no doubt, right? They're not the right motive, the right heart. Just so many different things that would be a part of that. But then there'll be those that are silver and gold and precious stones. The Bible says God's going to try it of what sort it is. What was the heart behind it? So you can't see someone else's heart. Here's what I've learned. I've been so zealous for God all these years. I wanted people to be zealous and let's go all the way. I mean, let's be so devoted. And I thank God for that. And we should pursue being more and more stirred to be zealous for God and truth. But here's what I've learned. Do you realize how many people have zero interest in the things of God? And if someone shows any interest in the things of God, we should take them where they are and fan that flame and bring them along. Amen. Somebody comes on Sunday morning. You say, wow, they ought to just do this too. They ought to do the other too. I thank God they're here at all. Good, you understand that? I thank God that you take working with young people. Well, that young person is not where he needs to be with God. Take him where he is. Help bring him along. Jesus took Peter where he was, even when he cursed and denied the Lord and said, come on, I'll help you. He came alongside of him, and look who preached on the day of Pentecost. Do you see what I'm saying? See, this is the heart of the kingdom of God. This is the heart of those who are living in that realm, not outward, not like sizing each other up and trying to determine, you know, based on appearance, who people are and where people are, and then how they determine if they are where they need to be. God says, deliver us from that. Realize you're going to meet God one day. You're going to give account for your attitude and your spirit as well as your actions. But everything behind that and all those hesitations and reservations, and I think about it how the adversary today, he wants to divide God's people ultimately away from God and His church, even away from their under-shepherd who's watching for their soul, the one who's trying to bring blessing into their lives and help them to have a good day at the judgment seat of Christ. In every way, it's to back up, to hesitate, to peel off. Well, you know, just this, and then it was that, and you know, it's amazing to me. God have mercy on us. Friend, I'd be careful. I'd be careful going down a path that would ultimately pull me away from what God has for me and my family. And oftentimes you'll find it. It's in people who have great zeal. Believe me, I've moved in all kind of realms. I've moved in all kind of realms. And here's what people do. Do you realize this, by the way? People need your following. They need your fellowship. They need your support. And the way they get you over to their realm to support them and their cause is to just cast shade upon the cause you're involved in at present. And if you're a faithful, Bible-believing Christian, you're a part of a local church. And they'll cast shade upon that church. What it does or doesn't do. What it offers or doesn't offer. And they'll highlight its faults, its insufficiencies. Because see, here's what you do. What have I said through the years? How does the adversary talk you out of something? He talks it down first. When he talks it down, then you willingly walk away from it. Because then the fault becomes so glaring in your mind. And it's like, this is of no to little value to me anymore. I'll tell you what, I'm going to cast my lot over here instead. Friend, I will tell you what, if you're following man, man invariably at some point will always disappoint you. And what breaks my heart is I've seen so many people become prey to those who have an ulterior motive, to those who are making something about themselves and about advocating for and advancing themselves, oftentimes over what God has said in His Word. I've been in these realms, and I say this very kindly, even I've been to Washington, D.C., I've been to Raleigh, I've been a lot of places. I've been in meetings, I've seen all kinds of things. And I want you to understand this. I believe with all of my heart in being salt and light for the glory of God. I believe in taking a stand. I believe in voting for those and advocating for those who best reflect biblical values. I believe all of that, and I work hard for that. But if you knew sometimes the hypocrisy, the drunkenness and the immorality and the contempt for the local church that people have that actually poach people away from local churches, you would gasp. You'd be shocked. Because it's about power, and it's about money, it's about position, it's about, hey, looky here. Look at me. Boy, I'm taking a stand. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm telling you, I'm a pastor and I'm watching for your soul. And we're living today to where there's unnecessary tension and friction among God's people. No wonder we can't, like a mighty army, move as the church of God and make an impact and move the needle toward that which is right and just. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And the devil knows that. And he doesn't care how he gets you away from the house of God. Either side of the road, you're still in the ditch. And sometimes it could be getting you stirred up and zealous for something that is outside of what priority God has commanded you here in His Word. And I would be careful, friend. I've been pastoring for a long time. I've been preaching God's word these years. And I'm not the authority. God is the authority. Isn't that right? And anyone who would try to be the authority in your life instead of pointing you to God and His word, which is the authority, I would be weary of. I would be leery of. I would be careful. Because some of the most charismatic, zealous for God people you ever meet in your life are people who ultimately make it about themselves at your expense. God have mercy. God is saying, be careful. Stay away from that. You're going to meet God one day. And you're not going to say, well, Lord, this person kind of talked me out of this and talked me into that. You're going to give account yourself. They're not going to be there. You're going to meet God one day with what you say and what you do and the decisions you make. Don't be naive. Don't be gullible. Don't be someone who's always easily recruited by those who have their own agenda. And Paul had to deal with that repeatedly in the New Testament here. But notice this lastly. Pursue peace and edification by receiving one another, by realizing your own accountability to God. And then number three, by reaffirming your commitment to love others and to display the kingdom of God. Now look with me here. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God, in verse 17, is not in meat and drink. He said, it's not in things outward. All these things that you kind of size each other up with, that you say, well, this determines who is really zealous for God and those who are not quite as zealous. And be careful. He said, the kingdom of God is not in things outward. It's not in things you can see, but I'll tell you what it is. It's within. It's in righteousness. Practical righteousness is the thought here. Equity of character and action, just actions. Can you imagine people who are always exalting themselves by tearing other people down? I'd be careful about that. I'd be careful being around that, because that's, you got to see what's happening there. The only way some people can get a following is by separating you from those that God has placed in your life. And it's not about really helping you in the end. It's about helping themselves, enriching themselves. God, have mercy on us. Equity of character and action, peace, quietness, tranquility of heart and mind, peace with God and the peace of God, peacefulness. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Seek peace. Pursue it. That's what the Bible says. Righteousness and peace and joy. That's cheerfulness, gladness in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your what? Your strength. Are you joyful today? I tell you, I think about it. As a pastor, I labor day and night, 7 days a week. There's never a time when the burden and the weight of that is not on my heart. Like the priests in the Old Testament, they bore the breastplate, had the stones representing every tribe, and it was a picture that you're going to bear the burden of my people. I think of that, and I think about all that God wants to do. Can you imagine how the adversary can work, wants to work, and will work if we're not discerning people? Rather than receiving one another, we start rejecting one another, shunning one another. Exactly opposite of what God says here in His Word. Can we all agree that God says we're to receive one another? Can we all agree on that? Can we all agree that God wants us to realize we're going to meet Him one day with what we do and what we say? Can we all agree with that? And can we all agree that God wants us to be committed to love each other and to display the kingdom of God, which is within, but then it is reflected without, which is just doing right by God and each other and living a life of peacefulness and peacemaking and joy in the Holy Ghost? When's the last time you talked to someone who said, boy, I'm so happy that I get to serve God. I'm so happy that what God is doing. Oh, God is answering prayer. Look at the needs that God has met. Look at the provision that God has given. Look at the doors that God has opened. Isn't that wonderful that we get to serve this great God? Oh, I'm so happy about that. Or is our conversation, is our tenor, is our spirit opposite? Well, you know, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I'm not sure here. Well, listen, friend, I understand that. I'll tell you, at the end of the day, there's a kingdom that God offers us. The world cannot offer us. And the world cannot take from us. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Peace, the Bible says. Peace with God and peace among yourselves. Pulling for, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not separate from each other, not apart from each other, but striving together is what God says. And I think about how God's people are to pursue living and around the world. Not only can't offer or take from us, but it is a realm that we all deep down truly desire. Just do what's right. Have peace in your heart and have joy. The more I go, that's really what I want to do. I just want to do what's right. I want to have peace in my heart and I want to have joy. And some people are not happy till they hurt someone or cashed on someone. You can tell a lot about people about what makes them happy and what makes them sad. The Bible says, weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. And if people rejoice when others are weeping, that says everything about where they are before God. Oh, we should have a heart for God, a heart for each other to do right. I just want to live at peace. Man, I fought a lot of battles. How many of you fought a lot of battles in life? So many of us have, right? And we've got battles to fight. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about within, entering the battle with a peace, a confidence, a settled reassurance in my heart that God is with me and God is for me, not all of this tension that is unnecessary. Unnecessary tension has sunk a lot of people, even put some in early graves. I've heard of pastors that people have said the battles that he fought and the way that some responded and what they put upon him put him in an early grave. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine meeting God at the judgment seat of Christ and having that on your account? Can you imagine that? Seriously. Any of you ever heard of that? You heard of something like that? Or maybe someone else, they put their dad or their mom in an early grave. They just worried them to death. Just always tension and friction and striving. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I say what I want, live like I want, treat people like I want. I don't care. But, you know, I can sing in the choir. I can go to church. And I can act like, you know, glory to God, great is thy faithfulness and all this kind of stuff. But yet, I can rip you apart with my tongue. I can act any way I want to. I can never be grateful. I can never be satisfied. I can never appreciate anything. I can never value anything. And I am A-OK. And yet, your words and your spirit take their toll on other people over time. And you think nothing about it. I don't want to meet God with that on my account. I don't want to meet God one day thinking, I did not pursue peace. I'm not talking about at the expense of truth. See, truth unifies and brings peace. But I'm talking about we who know the truth and believe the truth and say we're trying to live the truth. That's who I'm addressing today, all of us, right? I want to have joy in the Lord. I want to be uptight because there's somebody always striving about, struggling with this, struggling with that. Sometimes it's not a struggle. It's just that if I can't control it, if I can't own it, I'm going to disown it. And if I can't build it the way I want to build it, I'll tear it down. God deliver us from that spirit. Isn't that right? We've had enough of it in America, our country. That's where people are. It's all about power. It's all about access. It's all about oneself. And our country's paying such a price for that. May our homes not have to pay such a price. May our church not have to pay such a price. May we live in that kingdom of God that is within, in that true righteousness, doing right by God and each other. And that peace in our hearts and with one another. And that joy in the Holy Ghost who lives within. I promise you, this world with tension and friction, one of the great reasons is because they're not at rest with God, therefore not at rest with each other, and they never learn how to forgive. And I close with this. Corrie ten Boom said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover the prisoner was you. Think about that. The prisoner was you. I read the story of how when her sister died there in the concentration camp, she met a guard sometime afterwards who was listening to her testimony and put out his hand and asked for her forgiveness. She said it was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. And I realized that forgiveness in that moment was not an emotion. It was an act of the will. She said, so I put my hand out like a wooden hand, no heart behind it. And I said, dear God, would you put heart in my hand as I embrace his? He said, will you forgive me? He said, I've become a Christian and God has forgiven me of all that I did. And I'm so sorry. She said, I put my wooden hand in his. And it started in my heart, from my heart to my shoulder, down my arm, into my hand. And from my hand to his was a genuine forgiveness and a love for that man. And she said, you know what? I was the one that God set free that day. I was the prisoner that God wanted to deliver. You see, the kingdom of God offers you things the world cannot offer you. Oh, may God help us to tap into them by faith and live them out among ourselves. All of this surface stuff, this form of godliness, let me tell you the day in which we're living. God is pulling the veil off of that. So if you believe something's not in line with the Word of God, God's going to expose it. If you preach and teach something that's not in the Word of God, God's going to expose it. Are you listening to me? And I say, so be it. If it's not of God or of His Word, we don't need to have anything to do with it. Isn't that right? And this is the hour where God is saying, quit going through the motions. Quit playing the game. Quit just saying, well, this is the way I was raised. This is the only life I know. But I could talk like I want to and act like I want to and have a raw spirit, a wrong spirit, a bitter spirit. But I'm justified because someone said this or someone said that. Or these people don't take the stand that I take. Or they're not as strong in this area and I don't want anything to do with them. Listen, I'll tell you what, that's not of God. That's not of God. I want to take a strong stand on thus saith the Lord. Isn't that right? Not on my assessment of where you should be in some particular realm that God has not expressly given in His Word. That's not my job. I'm not the Lord, and I'm not your Lord. That's why when we gather here, I try to point you to the Lord through His Word. Let's stand with our heads bowed.